Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. A day after Afghanistan claimed to have smashed a coup attempt against President Najibullah, heavy fighting is reported continuing around Kabul. But since few journalists are on the scene and communications are difficult, most information is coming through Western embassies in Pakistan, from where Lise Doucette gave us the latest.
We're now getting reports from Western diplomatic sources who have their own independent contacts in Kabul that the situation is by no means quiet. There are reports of anti-aircraft and machine gun fire in the city. There seems to be aircraft trying to launch strikes inside the capital, which indicates that elements of the Air Force are still holding out and are remaining loyal to the Defense Minister General Tanai, who's been identified as the ringleader. So the government reports that the coup has been crushed don't seem to be true. It's not clear how much resistance is still being put up and how long it will take for President Najibullah's forces to put it down, if indeed they do put it down.
Lise Doucette reporting from Islamabad. Afghanistan's ambassador to India has told a news conference there that rebel troops are fighting east of Kabul, but that 8 mutineer generals have surrendered. He said the coup attempt is over. U.S. Secretary of State Baker calls the road to peace in the Middle East long and difficult, with progress measured in small steps. In Israel today, as Martha Teichner tells us, a deeply divided government just marked time.
Showdown postponed. The Israeli government's inner cabinet met this morning and began its face-off over the U.S. proposal for peace talks with the Palestinians. But a vote on the plan has been put off until Sunday. The dovish Labor Party had told the hardline Likud, its partner in the shaky coalition, that if the U.S. plan wasn't approved by today, it would pull out of the government. Under the U.S. plan proposed by Secretary of State James Baker, Palestinians who live on the West Bank but work in East Jerusalem can sit at the bargaining table, as well as Palestinians who have been deported by the Israelis. Likud has balked at this and has demanded that Labor accept additional conditions for peace talks, conditions unlikely to satisfy either Labor or the United States. This morning, Shimon Peres, leader of the Labor Party, accused Likud of getting cold feet on the matter of peace. Martha Teichner, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Another small but positive signal from Iran this morning on the Lebanon hostage agony. President Rafsanjani saying the problem is, quote, moving toward a solution. In Damascus, correspondent Alan Pizzi has been checking the hostage story.
The feeling here in Damascus is that, yes, indeed, there is movement on the hostage issue, but raised expectations may be a little bit premature. No one here is predicting that any hostages are coming out tomorrow, this week, next week, or even this month. But it does serve a lot of people's interest to have the hostage issue resolved. What has to be borne in mind, however, is that Rafsanjani has his own problems at home. If he were totally in control of Iran, it would be one thing, but he has factions against him which are not necessarily concerned with releasing hostages.
Former President Carter is about to begin a trip that will take him to Cairo, Amman, and Damascus. Is there any suggestion he might play a role?
No one has mentioned a role, but certainly everyone here would be interested, I think, in having an honest broker, a go-between, someone of the stature of Jimmy Carter, who is not officially representing the U.S. government, but does have that kind of a pipeline.
Alan Pizzi in Damascus. As many as 6 people have been killed in political violence sweeping Bophuthatswana, another of South Africa's tribal homelands. Mike Sullivan reports President Lucas Mangope is under pressure to quit.
Today's clashes, in which security forces opened fire on thousands of protesters, is just the latest violence to rack Bophuthatswana and South Africa's other 9 black homelands. Violence in the homelands now has become virtually a daily occurrence as blacks protest their exclusion from South African society. In 1987, a military coup ousted the government in the Transkei homeland, while just 4 days ago, the Ciskei government fell to the military. But Mangope has faced confrontation in the past and never hesitated to use the army and police to stamp out protest. 2 years ago, following a coup attempt by his own forces, he called on the South African army to crush the coup and restore his regime to power. Mike Sullivan for CBS News, Johannesburg.
Chinese who roared for democracy last June had better whisper today or else risk a trip to jail. Correspondent John Sheehan reports on Beijing's continued political chill.
Beijing Mayor Chen Shitung, one of the leading hardliners in the Communist Party, confirmed today that people who took part in last year's pro-democracy protests are still being investigated and prosecuted. In a rare press conference, Chen defended the massacre of unarmed demonstrators last June and said that a repetition of the protests will absolutely not be permitted. The mayor said that the Communist Party is prepared to crush any anti-government movement anywhere in the country. China recently announced that nearly 600 political detainees had been released. Mayor Chen's statement was the first official confirmation that arrests are continuing. John Sheehan, CBS News, Beijing.
In choosing pro-American Violeta Chamorro as their president, Nicaraguan voters rejected the Sandinistas, but did not necessarily embrace the Contra rebels. Now, talks have been held in Honduras with the aim of disarming and repatriating thousands of Contras. Frederick Tice reports.
Mrs. Chamorro's representative brought with him a plan for getting the Contras home. Honduran officials were just as eager to get the rebels out of this country and back to Nicaragua. Presidential Secretary Gilberto Goldstein.
They realize that they have to go back. So
when?
Soon.
Since Mrs. Chamorro's election victory, it's been hard to get a fix on the Contras' position on just what has to happen before they lay down their arms. The Contras' top military commander told his troops this weekend they would go back to Nicaragua, but with their weapons in hand, and would only disarm once the Sandinista army had turned in their guns. Chamorro has already declared she won't disband the Sandinista army, but as he was leaving, Chamorro's emissary said he was very optimistic about the prospects for an agreement with the Contras. Frederick Tice, CBS News, Tegucigalpa.
In West Philadelphia this morning, three commuters were killed and more than a dozen injured in a subway derailment. This man was on the train.
You could just feel it because the whole train just, like, stopped. You heard the bang and then the whole train just, like, stopped. Everybody launched forward.
The accident happened near 30th Street on a line connecting with Amtrak and regional commuter trains. WCAU-TV reporter Pat Battle is there.
Police and fire officials are still bringing the injured up out of the subway. There are countless people still down there, maybe as many as 200, 250 people. Most of the folks we've seen coming out on stretchers are conscious. They are talking, but we've seen some serious head injuries as well. And as I said, they're still bringing them down.
Again, police in Philadelphia report that rush hour accident killed three people, and there are some 13 taken to hospitals. Still unknown this morning is the cause of yesterday's bank explosion in Crested Butte, Colorado, which killed three women. Investigators are looking at a possible bomb or an explosive underground buildup of methane gas in an abandoned coal mine. The dollar is higher. London gold is down over $2 this morning at $402.60 an ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead 6.75 at 2683.55. Big board volume, 31 million shares. It's 10 past 7.